So I've titled this Maranatha Christian Community Church, Waterford. We were there for a second. Okay, I've titled it From Dry Bones to New Life. From Dry Bones to New Life. Have you ever walked through a period in your life when hope felt gone? You still showed up, you still smiled, you still did what was expected of you. But inside, it seemed like something had quietly died. Maybe it was grief. The empty chair at the table, the silence where laughter used to live. Maybe it was disappointment, the prayer that you've been praying for years that seemed to go unanswered. Maybe it was just exhaustion, doing everything right, yet feeling nothing at all. And slowly, without even realizing it, hope began to drain away. And it's in moments like that a quiet question rises in our hearts. Can this ever live again? Not can this improve, not can this get a little better, but is this finished forever? The good news is this. We serve a God who does not just give life. He brings life back from the dead. He breathes where breath has been lost. He calls us out of the tombs we thought we'd never live. And we're not the first to wrestle with the silence of lost hope. The Bible shows us a prophet staring at death itself, not in theory, but in the form of a valley full of dry, lifeless bones. And it's there that God asks the question that echoes into our own hearts. Can these bones live? Hope gone, breath gone, life gone. That's the scene God showed the prophet Ezekiel one day, a valley of bones, brittle and broken. We're going to read some Bible this morning. Is that okay?
Yeah.
If you've got your Bible, could you open it in Ezekiel in the Old Testament, chapter 37, beginning in verse 1. I'm going to read the first 10 verses, so I'm not going to put this up on the screen because it's going to be too wordy. But if you haven't got your Bible, I'm going to read it out loud so you can listen. Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make a breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live." So I prophesied as I was told, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. God brings Ezekiel into the valley. He doesn't bring him around it or over it. He brings him straight into it. And what does Ezekiel see? Bones, dry bones, not recently dead, long dead. These bones have been picked clean by time, by weather, by abandonment. And God asks him a confronting question. He says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Common sense would answer, no. Experience would answer, never. But Ezekiel answers wisely. He says, "Oh Lord God, you know." You see, faith does not deny reality. It places reality into God's hands. And then comes the sound, a rattling, movement where there had been none, connection where there had been separation, bone to bone, flesh to frame, breath to body. And what stood up was not a single survivor, but an exceedingly great army. And God explains further in verse 11. He says, "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done all that I declared I was going to do." Their testimony was simple. Our hope is gone. But notice this, God doesn't shame them for feeling hopeless. He didn't just restore their bodies, he restored their identity. And maybe that's your testimony too this morning. I feel dry. I feel cut off. I thought life would be different, but it feels finished. A couple of years ago, I was doing some consultancy work for a guy in Limerick, and it meant that I had to drive up to Limerick once, maybe twice a week. And if you've ever driven the road from Waterford to Limerick, it's a horrible road. So I found an alternative route. It didn't make the journey any shorter, but it was more peaceful of a drive. It brought me up to Clonmel, and I turn off and would go through a village called Golden. And it's actually where the River Shore that flows through Waterford, where that springs up. It's amazing to see the stream that it starts with and the river that it turns into. But as I used to drive through out of Golden, there was a little cottage that always caught my eye. It must have been maybe 200, 300 years old. And it was, when I say cottage, that's kind of stretching it. It was a ruin of a cottage. And I used to always wonder as I drove past it, what that was like when people lived in there, what it was like when there was life there. And so in November, I haven't been in Limerick in a couple of years, but in November, the guy was opening a new location and he asked me to come up before they officially opened it. So I drove up, went my usual route, and as I was driving through Golden, that cottage just came into my mind. And to my astonishment, when I drove past, somebody had bought it. And I'm sure when they bought it, people were telling them, it's useless, it's worthless, it's a ruin. But they had a vision, and they got together with a builder, and an architect stepped in, and all of a sudden, that cottage was alive again. When I drove past, it was lights on, Christmas tree. It was beautiful. And that's what God does with us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Behold, I'm a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new." It doesn't say God goes on done deal and gets us some secondhand parts. We're new creations. So if Ezekiel shows us how God responds to a people who lost hope, in the Psalms, we hear how it sounds when God's people are honest about losing that hope. Psalm 77, verse 7 through 9, it says, "Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion?" Have you ever prayed like that? God, have you forgotten me? Can you not see what I'm going through? But then the psalmist catches himself. He says, "Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago." In other words, my despair was lying to me. God has been faithful before. He will be faithful again. And sometimes that choice doesn't sound like confidence. Sometimes it sounds like praise we offer before we even feel it. It's like the song, the lines in the song Praise that we sing here sometimes. I'll praise when I feel it. I'll praise when I don't. I'll praise because I know you're still in control. My praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound. My praise is the... Are we worried about waking the neighbors? That would knock a sandcastle on the beach in Woodstown, never mind the walls of Jericho. Let's try it again. My praise is the
shout.
Brings Jericho down. That's not pretending everything is okay. That's faith refusing to surrender the last word to despair. And yet sometimes, even when we know God has been faithful, our hearts still ache with the question, Lord, where were you when I needed you most? That's the very cry we hear centuries later in Bethany, when two sisters, Mary and Martha, stood beside their brother's tomb. Their words echo the psalmist's anguish. God, have you forgotten me? Have you turned away? Lord, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. Which brings us to the story of Lazarus. Again, if you could turn to John in the New Testament, chapter 11, beginning in verse 32. John chapter 11, verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing there, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Everyone thought the story was finished. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. The smell of death was in the air. But then the shortest verse in the Bible, it says Jesus wept. Why? Because our God just doesn't fix our pain. He enters it. He stands with us in our tears. Then he calls out, Lazarus, come out. And death obeys his voice. Maybe you feel like Lazarus, sealed in, forgotten. But the voice that called Lazarus out is still calling today. Take away the stone. Push away the thoughts that say nothing will ever change. Move towards the sound of his voice. And when he unwraps the grave clothes, let him in. Don't resist. Let him give you new eyes, a new song, a new heart, a new walk, a new future. God sees what others can't see. When others see hopelessness, he sees potential. Anyone have a guess what this is? Those are coffee cherries. And the little seeds on the top, those are unroasted coffee beans. I work with coffee. And one of the strangest things is this. That green coffee bean is completely unimpressive, unremarkable. There's no aroma, no sweetness, no sign of what it will become. But I never judge it by what it is. I judge it by what it holds inside. See, I know if it's a Brazilian coffee, it'll have taste notes of chocolate, nuts. If it's Ethiopian, it'll be floral light. But I have to believe in its potential before it ever reveals itself. And that transformation requires heat, but not chaos, not neglect. Too much heat destroys, too little leaves it lifeless. And the bean has no control over the process. In many ways, it must trust me, the roaster. Friends, God does not see you as you appear today. He sees what he placed inside you. And sometimes the heat you're in is not punishment, it's precision. In Acts after the resurrection, it says Jesus breathes on his disciples and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The same breath in Ezekiel, the same voice at Lazarus' tomb is present here today. You may feel unfinished. You may feel like potential hasn't been realized, but God has not walked away from the process. So I ask you, where do you feel dry? Where do you feel sealed in? Where have you decided this is how it will always be? Hear the voice of Jesus saying, "I can breathe life into you again." And let us close with this unshakable promise. Romans 8, chapter 38 through 39. Can we read it together?
Yes.
"For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else, all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing, nothing, nothing can separate us from his love. The God who raised dry bones, the God who called Lazarus, is the God who is calling you to life today. I'm going to ask the worship team if they'd come back up. And I wonder if we could all stand for a moment. I'm going to pray in a minute, but and then maybe after the worship team finishes, Pastor Jared will come up and dismiss us. But before I pray, let's just take a moment to focus in on God, that intentional dependence. We might be going through difficult times, but God hasn't finished with us yet. Would you close your eyes with me and let's pray. Father God, we come before you just as we are. Some of us feel full of faith, some of us feel tired, and some of us, if we're honest, feel dry. Lord, you see every valley in this room. You know the prayers we stop praying and the hopes we quietly buried. And still you ask us, can these bones live? So today, Lord, we choose trust over fear. Holy Spirit, breathe again. Breathe into weary lives. Breathe into hearts. Breathe into silent faith. Breathe into places we thought were finished. Jesus, we hear your voice calling us out of shame, out of disappointment, out of resignation. We lay down our grave clothes. We roll away the stones from our hearts, and we choose to believe that you are not finished with us yet. Where there has been waiting, bring trust. Where there has been heat, bring transformation. Where there has been silence, bring life. We receive your breath, we receive your spirit, we receive your hope. And we leave this place, Lord, believing again that dry bones can live. And resurrection is not just something you did, it is something you are still doing. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You know, I'm sure we're all facing difficult times, but I think it's important that we take a moment to just praise God for everything he's done, everything he's going to do, and everything he's doing. Another thing I mentioned the last time I spoke was my eldest son was going through a difficult time. And the night before I spoke, he came out to me and told me that he wanted to get baptized. The following week, he got baptized and gave his heart to God. Now, that doesn't mean everything's perfect. We still go through struggles, but I know God has got his hand over him, and I know God is in control. So guys, let's take a few minutes to praise God for all he's done. The tea and coffee is going to be there in 5 minutes. It's not going anywhere. The children's ministry is okay for another couple of minutes. The shops that we need to go to, whatever it is, it can wait. Let's just praise God for a moment for all he's done.